You are listening to Jai Long, and this is Make Your Break. Hey, I have a special episode for you today because I'm coming down on a bit of a high after hosting the Unrealistic Workshop with a lot of my favorite educators of all time, which was just so incredible. Now, you probably hear my voice a little bit croaky. Yes, it's the day after the Unrealistic Workshop. I'm feeling a little bit dusty and my mind's blown. I met so many amazing people. There's so many attendees that came from all over the place. And I actually just want to say like a really special shout out to those that traveled far and wide. We had people that came in from Argentina, New Zealand, Australia, Mexico, Canada, Spain, like from all over the place. Of course, all over the US as well. It was so incredible to be in a room full of people that were so ambitious and from all over the world, and they just wanted to make this happen. And it's hard to explain the vibe of that room. It was absolutely incredible. I also want to give a special shout out to all the speakers because honestly, they blew my mind. So let's do that right now. The first one I want to give a shout out to is India Earle. India Earle, if you don't know her work, you've got to go check out her work. But she's a fierce, powerful woman that demands stage presence. She has been huge in the industry for so long. But this is the first time that we've actually hung out in real life. And so one thing I didn't realize is she is so kind. She's so thoughtful and she is so humble. And so these are words that I didn't know prior to hanging out with her, because when we see people on social media and we idolize them, you know, sometimes we can like make pictures in our own head of how somebody is. So I was just so blessed to be able to hang out with India for a couple of days. We had Nathan Chansky. Nathan's a new educator and he hasn't been in the space for too long now. He was in the Business Map in 2021. And I've got to say, I'm so proud to see how far he's come. Like from there and like looking over the emails and messages that we exchanged back then to him sharing a stage and like blowing up and doing all these viral reels and everything else. It's like the confidence that he has and how he's showing up and helping his community has been so inspiring. We had Usher Bailey. She's a beautiful soul. Like no one can say anything negative about Usher. She just had a newborn, so she only hung out for the one day, but she was intently watching the replays and she was watching it live as well when she wasn't there, and she was sharing notes and everything else. And we had so many good conversations about her, and I know she's made a few connections and she's going to create some cool things with some of the speakers and maybe some of the attendees as well. So look out for that. Jennifer Moher. Oh my God, I didn't realize how incredible she was and the stage presence that she had. And her presentation is like a well-oiled machine. Like she gets up, she knows what's going on. The room was in tears. She had a standing ovation. Like it was incredible. Kara Mia, I would consider her as like one of my best friends. Like she is fucking amazing. And if you don't know her work, you should definitely go check it out. I'm gonna stick a link to all the Instagram accounts in the bio of this episode. But she's a force to be reckoned with. She's the kindest soul. She's just beautiful inside and out. One thing for sure is I believe for me, like she is one of the most talented artists that I've ever met. And the way that she curates design and art and everything, like it blows me away all the time. And I'm so thankful that I know someone that is such an amazing artist. Joy Zamora flew in all the way from Spain to speak. And Joy was just like, get me on the stage. I don't care. Like, well, let's just make this happen. I want this opportunity. He did the whole thing, not even in like, so her English is his second language. And he did the presentation first time ever, keynote speaking in English. And not only that, he cracked jokes. He held the crowd. And he's just such a kind and down-to-earth person. And yeah, I would consider Joy one of my best friends. And we're going to do some big things together for sure, because it's just hard not to collaborate with people that like see life the way that you see it, and they're hungry and they're ready and they want to do things, and Joy is that person. Lilu is my wife, and she really like went far above and out of her comfort zone to get up on stage. This is the first time she's ever talked in front of a crowd like this. We had 100 people in the room and 1,000 people streaming online. And her day one was huge compared to my day one. And I know she like compares herself to me and to the other speakers and stuff. And a lot of times, like she doesn't realize that people have done this before, but she hasn't. And she did such an incredible job. It actually blew my mind. I was so proud of her. If you were there, you'll probably see me walking around just like watching her in awe of her, because it was amazing to see her get out of her comfort zone, saying yes, even though she was so scared, and doing it regardless and owning that stage. And last, we had Steph Marie. Steph was in the business map for the longest time, and I'm so proud to see how far she's come. Like, I feel like she's just been hitting milestones. She is just out there with the world. She serves her community. She runs workshops. She does all these things. And like, I just can't not help feel proud to see her stand up on stage and deliver an amazing presentation, even though she was telling me she was scared and she might spew up on stage, but she didn't. And huge shout out to her. Also want to say a huge shout out to my sponsors. First and foremost, Unscripted App. If you haven't used Unscripted App, you should go check those guys out. They're friends of mine. Their app is all inclusive. It's an online gallery. It's a CRM. It's a posing app. It can do invoicing. It can do everything. And not only that, the humans behind Unscripted App are second to none. And I love those guys. I think the app personally is way too cheap, and I think the value for money is insane, and that's why I think you should definitely go over and check out Unscripted App. We had Second Society as well. Second Society were just a pleasure to be around. I want you to go check out their Instagram account. A pleasure to be around, and I'm going to see them in Dallas, Texas in a couple of months as well at the Hart University, which is really cool. Vision Art are the album suppliers that I've used for the last 10 years, and Vision Art are just flawless humans. Like, they went above and beyond for everything. And, you know, I'm so grateful. It just, yeah, it's hard to express. When you put on an event like this, when someone makes it easy for you, it's just so much easier. And then, of course, we had Imagine AI. Imagine AI showed up. They were there. You've probably seen their stuff online as well. Their culling app that uses AI for all of that kind of stuff. We had PickTime. PickTime been in the industry for so long, so you probably heard of them before. They ran the party on this first night, and it was so cool to see them getting involved in the community and everything else. And then, of course, we had the six-figure business map, which is my course. I've got to say, at this workshop, I met so many people that I've impacted in some way. And I didn't realize, because like, when I'm like, you know, building out my course and I'm sitting there and I'm mentoring all the time and I'm coaching and I'm showing up for people, you just don't know the effect it's going to have on someone until you walk into a room and you see people see you for the first time and literally end up making a mess of themselves just in tears because of something that I've created that they've been a part of, and then they want to express that gratitude. And you've got no idea what that feels like for me. Like, it's actually uncomprehendable. And so it's hard as an educator. Like, I'm sitting here next to all like a pile of cards from people that all are expressing how much I helped them and changed their lives and stuff like that. It's hard to comprehend and to express gratitude, because you kind of, it's cheesy to say, but you're sort of left speechless. Like, that's honestly the feeling that I have. I'm like, if I say words, it ruins the moment, because man, like, and I know how people feel too, because like, there's a lot of entrepreneurs that have changed my life fundamentally. Like, I've read books, you know, I've listened to keynote speakers, and you know, there's been so many entrepreneurs and educators that have like profoundly affected me, and they don't even know the impact that they've had on me, you know? And so when I see that same feeling in people that have trusted me on being on the journey with them, like, it's mind blowing, I got to say. And it's humbling as well. Like, Lily asked me today, it's like, Jai, do you feel like a rock star now? And I'm like, it's the opposite. Like, it's more of a humbling feeling than it is like a status feeling of like, yes, I'm a legend. I'm awesome. I've done all this. It's more like, wow, I can't believe these people have trusted me. And I can't believe I actually helped them in some way. And I can't believe that they came here and then they said, thank you. Like, I can't believe people went above and beyond to express gratitude to me. And I know that's really hard. And I know walking around giving everyone a hug and everything else, like, yeah, words can't describe, like, it was amazing. So in today's episode, I've actually got Morgan Nelson, and she's from In Frames Photography. I invited her to come to the workshop as an attendee. She's an amazing educator. I was being selfish because I just wanted to meet her. I was so glad and so excited that she did come to the workshop, and we had a few other educators and influencers come along as well. And I was so humbled that they sat there with everybody taking notes. They got involved. They weren't pretentious. There was no ego. They talked to everyone. They interacted with everyone. And I think it speaks volumes to this community and speaks volumes to the people that I want to collaborate with and the people that I want to work with. Like, when people are open and not gatekeeping and their ego is not too big and they're not trying to, yeah, there's just nothing else. Like, these are the people I want to spend my time with and my attention with and help in any way possible. So today I invited Morgan into my hotel room here. She was staying just a couple of doors down to sit down and debrief and just have a conversation, because I wanted to hear from an attendee what it was like for them, and especially someone like Morgan, because she had a bit of an insight into the speakers and the attendees. So she was sitting in with the speakers and like having those conversations and having drinks with everyone. And she's in that inner circle, but she was also there with all the attendees and, you know, having drinks with them and on the dance floor and sharing notes and things like that. So she had a very different perspective than mine, because mine was like a little bit more stressed, walking around, making sure everyone's happy, making sure everything's on time and all that kind of stuff. So I think Morgan's bringing in a really cool perspective on this, and this podcast episode is going to be a fun conversation. So it's just a conversation and I hope it all sounds well. If you want to check out her work, and I do recommend you do check out Morgan's work, it's In Frames Photography on Instagram. So I'm going to say that one more time, In Frames Photography. I'm going to leave a link down below, but go and check out her work. It's absolutely stunning and she's stunning. So go check her out as a human, send her a DM, send her a thank you. Or if you met her at the workshop, you know, and you didn't get a chance to go and say hello, like, she's so open. She's an open book. So send her a message and just say, hey, I seen you in passing, or thank you for the conversation, or whatever it is. So I'm going to get into today's little conversation, not going to say interview, conversation. And if you enjoy this, don't forget, you can leave the podcast a review or you can share the podcast. It's the only two ways that we can actually grow this show. And if you have a friend out there that's in need, that wants some inspiration or a new community, sharing it could profoundly change someone's life in our community. So I really appreciate every time I see someone like showing up, sharing on social media. And honestly, at the end of the week, I read every review and it makes my week. Like, this week I had about 25 reviews and, man, like, honestly, game-changing reviews that like sparks me up, keeps me going in the low times when I feel like I don't want to show up, things like that. So I want to express my gratitude to those that have left the review off recent. I've been reading those. And if you do want to help me out in some way, that's definitely the best way. So let's get into today's episode. Welcome back to the show. Well, today's a little bit special because I'm at Ace Hotel and we just finished the Unrealistic Workshop. And I got the privilege to have Morgan here from In Frames. She is an amazing educator and photographer and human and everything else. And I'm so thankful that I got to spend some time with her at the workshop. And what we're going to do today is Morgan was actually at the workshop and she took lots of notes and she got to meet lots of people and things like that. So we both got two different perspectives of the workshop, but we both got to hang out with all the speakers and the educators and all the behind the scenes stuff. So we're going to just have a bit of a download, or just a little bit of a recap of things that we remember and maybe how we felt, or a conversation that happened, or a passing moment or something like that. And yeah, I think just sort of shoot the shit a little bit. So welcome.
Hello, hello, hello. So happy to be here. Honored to be here, honestly. If you could see us, we are sitting on a couch in a hotel room with one microphone, like leaning our heads together.
Yeah, and I'm a little bit hungover because everyone partied pretty hard last night, but I probably partied the hardest, actually. I was the last one standing. Yeah. We were next to the pool and it was all sweet. And I was with the speakers and like India Earl and Joy and Kara. Everyone's sort of hanging out. And then everyone left. And then the DJ came out and I was still there.
I missed the DJ. I must have left like right before.
Oh, yeah. No, there was like no one else there. There was no one else there.
Just you and a DJ on a rooftop bar.
Yeah.
I wish I could have seen that.
That's good.
That would have been a sight. I think that's a vibe.
So did you have fun at the whole workshop?
Oh, yeah. It's been, I think I was telling you, it's been 9 years since I have attended a workshop and that I haven't been speaking at. And to be able to I was nervous. Yeah. I was talking to a few of the other people who are educators who just came to attend. And we were like, why are we so nervous? This is like a new feeling of having to almost like taken a whole new perspective. It was like a different set of nerves. It wasn't a set of nerves to get on a stage and to give to people, but it was just like nerves of receiving from not only your friends, but also people I've looked up to for my whole career. So, but yeah, it was so fun. I had the best time and I learned so much. I don't want to say that surprised me, but it kind of did. Like, you know, you get to a point where you're like, I know a lot of things. And then I sat down in that chair and I listened to all these people and I was like, maybe I don't know anything.
That's such a good feeling. Yeah. And I even think for me, like, it's interesting because I've obviously been at so many workshops and stuff like that. But it was for me watching someone, say, for instance, like India Earl, like I've seen her online before and I've seen her reels before and things like that. I've seen her do live videos. But then when she got up on stage and then delivered her presentation, it hit different. It hit me different. I was like, oh my God, I'm ready to take action. Yeah. And I was like, how is this so profound right now when it's not new information? It's just the information that I needed right now.
Yeah, I think it was this dynamic force that India is, that all of the speakers are. You think you know someone online. And what I loved about this group of speakers or any experience where there's a panel of speakers, these guys were in the crowd. They were listening to everyone else. They were interacting.
Taking notes. All of them had
all
notes.
All of them.
All of them had notes.
And we all had like 12 pages of notes. It was just incredible. And I feel like sometimes when you go to a workshop, there's like a separation between the two. Like they're sitting away and they're on, you know, on their computers or doing what they need to do or on their phones or they don't show up. And with this, it was like they made an effort to not only connect with each other and connect with an audience as a speaker, but as a person off stage as well.
Why do you think it was like that, the dynamic? Like, why do you think that they were like so invested in just like being there and not having a hierarchy, if that makes sense? Like it didn't feel like the whole place had a hierarchy. Like I didn't feel any ego from one person. Like there wasn't one person that walked through the room where I was like, oh, I can't talk to them or I shouldn't talk to them or I'm bothering them if I talk to them, which is pretty rare to get that.
No, I talked about that a lot with a lot of my friends here. I think that it's really a testament to the community that you've built where you do walk in and there aren't these unrealistic expectations, but they're kind of a different set. Like this was a different unrealistic expectation. There was no ego in the room because of, I feel like, the message that you promote through your community.
So
it was just like everyone could come in and
almost like feel like themselves.
Like
as in like no one's here to judge me.
No.
Yeah.
Everyone was on the same level. And I think everyone felt that. So it was just so, this is the easiest I've ever connected with anyone at workshops.
Same.
It's kind of crazy.
And just like even all the attendees as well. It's not just the speakers, but the attendees. Like I've never connected with people on a deeper level like this ever. And it's like one example is, so I was in the lineup. At the end, there was a bit of a lineup, so, you know, people coming and saying goodbye, giving me a hug and things like this. And it was really cool, actually. And then it was like a bit of a like rock star moment when Tony came up and he's like, dude, you got a lineup and you're going to have to move the line.
A meet and greet.
Yeah. And so there was this guy that was there and I actually didn't talk to him because I talked to everyone, but until this moment and I noticed that he was there and everything. And sometimes, you know, someone might have, you feel like they're standoffish or maybe they're there with their partner and maybe they're not, they don't know who I am and stuff like that. Anyway, so he was in line and I seen him, he's coming up, and then he finally got to me and then he shared a couple of words and then just broke down crying. And I'm standing there just going like, holy shit, like you are the person that's supposed to be here. And I didn't know.
I saw that so many times.
Yeah.
There were interactions I had with people. There were interactions I saw. I think being able to kind of people watch from a different perspective too.
Yeah.
Like you were saying, it wasn't just speakers, it was attendees. I've never been in a room where I've seen an effort on everyone's part to connect with almost every single person.
Totally.
There
wasn't a click, which
Not one. Like it was so nice to walk in the next day and see everyone sitting at a different table with a different group of people.
Yeah,
that was wonderful.
That was just so strange that no one that was sitting next to someone felt like they were like, I don't know. It's like, you know, when you sort of want to be there and you're like, oh, I'm alone because I'm not with my friends. Everyone just made new friends. And this one guy came up to me and he was like, it was actually Nathan, not the speaker, another Nathan. And he was like, my new best friend just flew in from Australia This is the first time I've ever met him, and I've spent 13 hours with him so far. We've just been hanging out, you know, and I was like, man, that's incredible, you know. It's, you come here alone, and then you just like, you've got best friends. Like,
I have like raging social anxiety. And when you invited me to come, my first initial thought was like,
nope.
No, not even that. It was like, yes, I want to go, but who can I invite to come with me? Mm. Like trying to get my friends to come, like, hey, you should come to LA. They're like, Morgan, I can't just come to LA. And I'm like, well, I can, so I'm going to go. Yeah. And I made it a point to come. And lo and behold, a lot of the people that I've known through the industry were here, which was nice. But I met so many new people that I genuinely can call friends now. Mm. I had one connection with this girl. We've never met. We've never spoke. We didn't follow each other before this. And we just got into this conversation where we had so many, like, not even like small things in common. They were like big life moments where we were like in the same country at the same time, going through the same thing. We have like the same birth chart, which is really rare. Like, we just kept being like, wait, and then are you this? And she's like, yeah, are you? And I'm like, yes, we're the same. And we ended up having this moment that somebody caught on video, which I was so grateful for, where we're just like hugging each other and crying because I had felt like this person was supposed to come into my life. And I would have never had that had I not just like taken the step to come. And I think everyone felt that at some point, which is really special.
It really special. Did any of the speakers sort of surprise you in any way? Like, not so much just like their presentation, but maybe the way that they held themselves, or maybe their personality, which you didn't realize, or maybe the conversations that we had.
Yeah, no, definitely. I had one of those aha moments a lot. Mm-hmm. I think you know somebody versus like who they are versus their social media presence. And I mean, I live in the same state as like Kara and India. Mm. And I've known India, I've met her. She's wonderful, but she always surprises me because every time we reconnect, I feel like I'm meeting her where she's at. Mm. And she does the same thing with me. And it's like this grace that we have for each other. And it's just refreshing because I feel like we pick up right where we left off, but there's this appreciation for where we're at right now. Because we don't get to connect a whole lot at home, you know?
Yo, I actually asked India, I was like, do you live near Kara Mia? And she's like, 10 minutes away.
I know. I'm and 20 minutes from both.
Yeah. And I don't know why, but we just never connect. And like, she's always traveling or I'm always traveling and like literally 10 minutes away. I don't know why we're not connecting, you know?
Yeah. We talked about that a lot. And Kara, especially, I've never met Kara and she's
She's a force,
my gosh.
Don't you reckon?
She was the most surprising for me.
Yeah.
I think you create this idea.
I think I was definitely most excited to see her.
Oh, same.
Yeah.
Same. I was crying within the first 2 minutes of her presentation.
I definitely had tears. I was like sobbing. Okay, I'm going to have to leave the room.
Yes. I had to go to the bathroom and on all reality, I'm just sobbing.
I'm
all
right.
But she, I talked to her about this. I was like, my perception of you was so skewed from your social media presence or lack thereof. And I had no idea what you were going for or through at the time. And I had these like assumptions of who you were. And then I meet you. And the first thing she does is give me this huge hug. Oh my gosh, you're Morgan. I've been dying to meet. And I'm like having this moment of like, oh my gosh, you're Kara Mia. This is crazy. Yeah. And she's just this lovely, warm, outgoing person who
just a beautiful soul.
Oh my gosh. If you ever have the chance to meet her,
you're
in for a treat.
Yeah.
That was everyone. Joy is just
hilarious.
Oh my gosh. He's so funny. Like so belly laughing funny. Yeah.
Like his presentation, I was actually pissing myself. Like
Oh my gosh.
And he's like, English is not even his first language.
Yeah.
And he was cracking jokes in English and they were just hitting differently.
Yeah.
You know,
it's a superpower to do it in a secondary language and be that funny. Like the whole room was like cry laughing over these jokes. And he's so confident in the way he delivers them.
Like, it's almost like the funny thing about his jokes and the way he does it. It looks like he doesn't know he's making a joke.
Yeah.
So that's why it's funny. Like he's so confident. He's like, oh no, that's just how it is. And we're all laughing and it's funny. Like,
okay.
And he's like, no, but this is how it is. And we're like, we understand it's how it is. It's just so funny the way you've delivered it.
He's hilarious.
Yeah.
Oh, I think everyone had one moment speaker-wise where I was surprised.
Yeah.
And I've known a lot of these people for, you know, known Steph for a long time. Mm-hmm. I've taught at Steph's workshops and she's just, she was so transparent and a light that I haven't seen stuff so openly. And it was just, I have like a new appreciation for who she is as a person.
I think she did really, really well. She was really nervous about it. I know she's been practicing. I know she put in a lot of work. I know I even talked to her partner and her partner was like, thank you for, you know, giving her this opportunity and stuff. It means a lot to her. And, and also shout out to that guy because he's always doing Australian accents and mocking me a little bit. So, go him. What a legend. So I just had a moment where I felt proud when I seen her on stage and she was just owning it. And yeah, it was just like one of these weird moments of just like, whoa, she's awesome.
It was crazy to me because she was texting me before like, I might need to run my presentation by you. I'm having so much nerves. And I had to like give her a little pep talk. Mm-hmm. And she gets up on stage and I'm like,
and
you should
it.
Almost do like ASMR videos because her voice was so calm and very like smooth and delivered. And I was like, wow, I could listen to her talk for hours and hours. Like I was so relaxed by her presence. And I don't know. I think all of the speakers, as an educator myself, you get so nervous.
Yeah.
So nervous. And everyone just got up and was like, yeah, I'm nervous.
Yeah.
But I'm here and just did it. And
so one, I think the person that was nervous the most was actually Lilu. So my wife.
Lilu.
And what's interesting is like she was just not doing okay. And it's hard to talk in front of 100 people. And I know she compares herself with me all the time. And so we had this moment after and she was sort of sitting in the room by herself. She was like, oh my God, like it didn't go good. And I'm like, it did. You just can't remember that it went well, you know, because you're in that zone. But I was like, do you remember my first time I talked in front of a crowd, babe? It was like 8 people at someone's house and they just invited me to be a speaker. I was upstairs. I had a panic attack and then I was like going through anxiety. And I thought it was the biggest deal in the world. And then I went downstairs and I presented and I was fucking scared. And I made, it was just a joke. And I got it done. And that was my day one. And what she doesn't realize is yesterday was her day one.
Was it really?
Yeah. Like she's never done nothing even remotely close to that before. And so like day one, speaking in front of 100 people on the main stage and 1,000 people online, it's like, you like if people knows of the weight of where she's at in the stage, you can't compare to me or to anyone else that's in that room because that's just a huge leap. So I'm really proud of her.
I'm actually so shocked that was her first time.
Yeah.
Because she did so good.
I know.
She did so good and was relatable and funny. And I feel like I need to hug her again.
I know. Like she went through a lot to like get that done. And like, you know, it's cool because I see educators doing whatever. And I bring a lot of educators in, but I don't see the behind the scenes of them practicing or writing out their scripts or talking to their partner about, should I include a joke or whatever it is. But I seen from start to finish her like piecing together the concepts. Is it going to work? Deleting stuff, adding stuff, revising stuff, and then practicing and then practicing again. And so while she was all doing all that, I'm the opposite. I don't practice anything. So I was like, shit, man, she's outworking me. Like her presentation is going to be amazing. I'm like, I feel guilty now that I am like literally just writing on some paper is what I had and just got up there and just like sort of spun my stuff for as long as that I needed to spin it. And then I was done, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, it inspired me, the work ethic and just like that much dedication. I wish I could do that, but I can't. And so it's amazing to see.
Yeah, it is. It's, I'm like Lilu. I'm somebody who I put in so much time. I'm in front of a mirror like, okay, and then the next point. And I'm like that person. That's I'll epic. Call my mom and be like, do you think this is funny? And it's so wild because there was like such a mix up of what you were just talking about and what Lilu and I go through throughout the whole speakers. But everyone gets up there and just does this thing where you're so engaged in what they have to say.
It's that was a cool thing. Everyone, I noticed no one was like one of the things is being a public speaker is like the biggest thing to try to do is keep people engaged and everyone's talking for an hour. And I don't think anyone lost anybody's attention, which it's normal to lose. Like there's like an industry thing where it's like, okay, you're probably halfway through lose 50% of people. So what you need to do is you need to like get people to stand up for a second, sit back down, or you need to jolt them with a joke, or there's all these like random tricks and hacks, which, you know, I don't do none of that. And I don't think anyone needed to do nothing like that, because everyone's attention was like, oh, does it need to end? Was at the end of everybody's talk.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa, like this is a skill that everyone has to hold people's attention. And people, we had like standing ovations, like
multiple.
Yeah.
Like long applause, where I was like, when do I stop clapping? Cause it's just so good.
I know, and I've never seen that before.
Never.
At any workshop.
Oh, it was just, and after every single one, I heard somebody go, I could have listened to that for 3 more hours.
Yeah.
And we had been there.
And I felt all bad day. Stopping people. Like, so Jen and India were both like, they went over, but you know, things are out of my control, because I was like, honestly, like I want it to just go and just not stop, because everyone seems like they're having a good time.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know,
nobody's like checking their phones for
time. Nobody's
on their phones.
No one's on their phone.
Which was so.
That was weird.
Weird. Yeah.
Yeah. I looked around. I was like, hey, I thought someone would at least be like, more people would be taking more photos and stuff. That no one's got their phones out. Mm-mm. The notebooks were out.
Yep.
The pads are on the paper. Like people were like drawing shit.
Yep.
And people were like engaged. And I actually think that, I don't know why people decided to act like that, but I feel like that's a little bit of a game changer. People were involved in meeting real people and having real conversations.
I think it just goes to speak towards everyone making the entire audience feel involved and connected with what they were saying, because a lot of them were very interactive.
Mm.
There were exercises. There were, tell me your thoughts on this. It was like this banter of, tell me what you think so that I can tell you how to solve a problem or how to think of this differently. And every speaker had a moment like that.
They did. Every single one.
And it was incredible to watch. And me in the back, even, I raised my hand so many times. I had questions.
I wanted to ask questions when people did stuff. And I'm like, I'm not going to be that dickhead.
Oh, you know, I was that dickhead.
Well, no, but because I'm like already like presenting all the time.
Right,
I'm like, everyone else has got to have a chance. Mm-hmm. But I was like, I actually genuinely want to ask a question on this. I'm like, it's just, I'm invested. I was walking around like organizing things, but I'm listening the whole time and I'm like invested.
Yep.
So yeah.
It was incredible. I just, I'm.
Okay, well, let's talk about the party.
Oh,
so I was talking to the videographer, and the videographer was like, when you said that there's going to be a, like 100 photographers in a room and you want me to come and just like do a couple of videos off the party and there's going to be a DJ and stuff, he's like, I honestly thought it was going to be like 100 awkward people standing there doing nothing. And we were having this conversation the day after, and I was like, I thought the same.
Mm-hmm.
We walked in, because I was an hour late. We walked in and I was like, what the fuck? And it was just dance floor mayhem. Everyone just like talking, twerking, hugging, laughing.
Talking and twerking.
Yeah.
It was literally the whole dance floor.
Yeah, yeah. Literally just stuff going on everywhere. And I was like, what? Like everyone's connecting on a way deeper level and they're just ready. Like,
it just went to show that literally the entire workshop, from party to education to the dinners to meets up, like we met up last night. Everyone was like, let's just go to the rooftop bar. We were there for hours.
Yeah.
Every single, like the energy through every single event was just connection. And it was so nice to walk into, because you walk into those things and you're like, okay, I'm here.
I know. Hi. Yeah, yeah.
Let me get a drink and stand
Sarah?
In the corner.
Oh,
you,
okay.
What's your Instagram? Yeah, yeah. Like it's never... And we walked
I don't feel
in.
Like anyone was doing that. Like,
nobody cared.
No one had
what anyone else was thinking.
Well, that was the weird thing. No one was walking around like, "What's your Instagram handle?" And like judging each other.
No.
Everyone was literally just there, just going like, "Oh, I'm a human. I'm fucking making it."
Literally,
like,
partying.
Partying, yeah.
I've never seen a dance floor like that.
No,
it was insane. There was like multiple dance circles.
I know.
I was kind of in high school again, where I was like,
"Oh yeah,
here we go."
What's really funny is Joy is like really introverted.
Yes.
So we came together and we come cruising in. Actually, we both had like a little weed gummy before we went, and so we come cruising in. And then when I did, Joy was there for like 5 minutes and I walked around to the bar, got a drink. Then I was like going to go and check on Joy and just like to have a chat. And I'm looking for him for so long. And then someone comes up and is like, oh, he's left. I was like, well, when he couldn't have left. Like we just got here, like just now. And so I sent him a message and he's like, oh, no way, man. That dance floor is way too crazy. I just seen it and I just turned around and went straight home, straight away. And I was like, what? Like,
it was that
like,
crazy.
It was like, I haven't seen so much madness before.
just utter chaos in the best way possible.
Yeah.
I had a good time.
And then last night was good.
Last night was so good.
Last night was the best way to end. Like, we're at Ace Hotel in Los Angeles, rooftop, and then we're like near the pool. Everyone was just either high or drunk or just high on life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or whatever. And just talking. Like, we're talking about aliens. We're talking about experiences. We're just talking about, like, the workshop itself. Like, mm-hmm. There's attendees there as well. Like, everyone was sort of mixed in. Like, there was nothing pretentious.
Nothing.
And it's just, like, it just felt so fun. And at one moment, someone turned around. Maybe it was you. I don't know. I can't remember. Someone and said, we'll never have these people on this table ever again.
Yeah.
Like, that just won't. Yeah, that just won't happen again. And it was one of those moments where it's like, yeah, this is actually a really special moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was. There were more surprises too, because there was, you know, you connect with people and then you leave a workshop and it's kind of like, okay, bye. And you are like, darn it, I didn't get to talk to this person.
Mm.
And I connected with somebody I didn't think I was going to like connect with, just because we have very different, like, we're very different in our values or different in, you know, our thoughts and how we do things. And we had the best conversation where I actually was able to be very vulnerable with this person.
Wow.
And it ended up sparking this relationship I never thought would happen. And I'm so glad it did, because I ended up like talking about, and last night was like real life conversations.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, how's your wedding season? It was like,
no,
real life, aliens, trauma, religion, like so many things.
And there was no judgment anyway.
None.
It was just like, hey, I believe in God. And someone's like, I believe in aliens. And someone else was like, I believe in mushrooms. And someone else was like, I believe in, you know, manifesting. Like, and it was just like everyone just, you know, getting in and jamming ideas. And like, I was like, wow, this is a really good conversation.
It was one of those conversations where I didn't feel like anyone of you was trying to think of what to say next.
No,
it was just 100% intentional listening.
Yeah.
Everyone was actually so invested in what anybody had to say that curated the space to actually share.
Yeah.
Real shit. And it was so, I remember looking at the clock and it had been like 4 hours.
How do you ever create that again? You know?
Yeah. But you said something. You said, and that's kind of the beauty of it, because I just look forward to the next one.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a new table, new people.
A new table.
You know, in a different setting and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's, if I do one of these again, one thing I was
saying. You do want to.
when I do one of these again, I was saying this to someone that was downstairs, like an attendee. And they're like, oh, when you do this again, it's going to be cool. We can create it all again. And I was like, you can never recreate it. That's the thing. So it doesn't actually work like that, because what happens is you start something like this and everyone yearns for the first feeling that they had when they did this. And then the expectations are so high that it never gets met, because expectations are killer of joy.
Yes.
Right. So there was no expectation for this. Everyone said we exceeded their expectations. So then it's like a really fun thing.
Mm-hmm.
So when we do it again, it needs to be different.
Absolutely.
You know, so that way it's like you're cleaning the slate and it's like it's a new experience. There's obviously new people around. It might be in a new location, like, but it needs to be different to create something new.
Mm-hmm.
And so it can be as good.
I think that's the beautiful thing about it is you take this and what you learned and your feelings and wanting to have that feeling, but everyone being open to like which avenues they come through, like having that new experience and having new connections. And I think everyone here would be on the same page of having that mindset.
Yeah.
That's kind of what we created here, which is kind of cool.
I think, it was interesting for me. This is the first time I've ever done, and anyone in that industry has ever done, like an online, offline event. And so that was interesting, because usually I do a lot of big online events. And so I'm usually there talking more in the community, as in like on the chat box, and I can see people's faces and stuff. Where this time I just dedicated all my time to the people that in person. I didn't even really get feedback from online. But it felt good, because it felt good. One is I felt like I probably didn't need to do that. Like, I think what I did was enough. And I think it felt good to like really just put all my attention and not make it feel like it was online. Like, people didn't even really realize it was online, if that makes sense. And then an amazing thing is like people that couldn't travel or they were busy or whatever, they literally could experience it as well. And they felt it, like, you know, through their screen, which which is pretty hard to do, like to bring all of that education and that feeling and like the FOMO and the hype and the everything else and like actually deliver it all around the world. So that was interesting. It was hard for me. It was definitely hard because I didn't have my team there and a whole bunch of things, but it was definitely fun and worth it.
Yeah. I think even just seeing how engaged everyone online was.
It was insane.
There were so many questions. There were so many.
Yeah.
Yeah. Every time they'd be like, we have a question from online. I was like, oh.
Yeah. Oh,
right. Because okay. Right. I didn't, another thousand you people couldn't watching. Even feel that there was like a production of any kind going on, but getting that feeling, but also having the online audience feel so involved.
Yeah.
It was like, how are you doing this?
I know.
And it's nobody was taken out of anything.
No. And there's a big shout out also to Mel.
Yes.
So she's a team member of mine, but she was in there just looking after the online community and just like hyping them up. And like, I just went through today and I looked at some of the chats and stuff. I'm like, shit, she does such a good job of just getting people involved, getting them hyped, making sure they're seen. Mm-hmm. And it makes a game, it's such a game changer. I feel like no one is really doing that where they like, you know, hire someone that's literally there for the community.
Yeah.
And so then they feel like, oh, like I'm not just a forgotten part of this program. Like there's someone here for me.
Just as important.
Just as important.
Just as involved. Yep.
So that was awesome.
Well, shout out to Mel.
Shout out
Good
to
job, Mel.
The only thing that went sort of a little bit hard for us is this is the first time ever that I've actually taken money from a sponsor. So we've ran all of our events. I've always sort of been like anti-sponsor because I'm like, we can do all on our own. I don't need to shield stuff that I don't, you know, that, you know, sure. I don't, other people's stuff, right?
Yeah.
And so this time I was like, well, you know, everyone's always got sponsors and everyone gets paid. Like I always have sponsors. So it's like, oh, sponsored by so-and-so, but we never actually ask for money. I'm always like, you know, I use that program. You can like come along sort of thing. So actually I need to learn a lot because like charging people to be a sponsor and then there's like different expectations, there's new rules, there's contracts. And I usually play my own game where it's like, there's no rules and there's no contracts and I do whatever. So there was a different dynamic and I've got to be honest, like I think like we had such good experiences with some sponsors, some it was like made our life really hard and unnecessarily hard, I think. Mm. And going forward, like I don't think I'm going to have many sponsors. Like I don't think I'm going to work out how I can make the business work where I don't need to rely on like products and other things, you know? So that was the only thing for me that was like, I can change. I can do something better here.
Yeah. I think the sponsors were great.
They were great.
From my experience.
They were great.
I couldn't tell that there was any, if that makes you feel better at all, I couldn't feel anything.
Yeah.
But I do think that had I walked in and had the same experience without sponsors, I don't think the experience would have been different.
Oh, totally.
So I get where you're coming from. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it's all good that like there's all the industries sort of caught up with like, you know, they're all ambassadors and they're all like working with brands and stuff. But my hope is that I'm going to try and change the industry and I'm going to try and see if I can slowly get educators to collaborate more with each other and then make a lot more money with each other instead of selling their souls for so cheap for all these brands all the time, because everyone does it for a status thing too. It's like, I'm an ambassador for so-and-so. Like, look at me. It means I'm a big deal. And honestly, like I want to sort of like open up the can of worms on that and be like, yeah, it's great that you're an ambassador and you get 79 cents when someone signs up to your thing, but there's better things that we can be doing. Uh-huh. And like, you need to value ourselves. We need to value ourselves as educators way more than I think we are doing.
I agree.
So that's some controversy.
Yeah. Hot take, but also just real life shit.
Just real life shit.
Like just I think real life.
Just some honest stuff. You know, I think it's sometimes like with events like this, everything looks perfect, especially from the outside. But it's just little things. Sometimes I know how the status quo is and I know that's always been like that. Doesn't mean I have to accept it. And it doesn't mean I can't try and change it.
And you don't. And I think that's why this was so good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
You and everyone else, we were just talking about collaboration, has changed my perspective on collaborating.
Yeah.
And wanting to be more involved just to be involved.
Yes.
To have this relationship that allows a flow of creativity and connection and not doing it for anything other than that.
Yes.
Like I can't wait to get home. Like I've already have ideas of like reaching out to people and being like, do you want to just do something?
Yes.
To just do it because I've seen this was like, I saw it multiple times of what comes from that.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
there's so much.
Holy shit. I've been missing that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been disguised as something else. Maybe it's my own ego getting in the way.
All of us. Yeah.
But I cannot wait to get home and like shift this new perspective in and get back to like.
It's funny that you say that because I was saying to Joy this morning, one of my biggest goals right now is what I want to do over the next few years is I want to change this little thing in the industry where right now educators are all see themselves as competitors. I don't know why, but this is what I've noticed, right? So whenever I reach out to someone, I'm like, hey, you want to come to my workshop? Or you want to share my workshop? Can you share my workshop? Can you share this? Mm-hmm. Everyone's always like, no, I feel uncomfortable sharing another photographer's thing. So there's always like my DMs are full of that. Like everyone like sort of pushing back. I'm like, oh, that's fine.
Yeah.
And then slowly I meet all the people that like collaborated with me on this workshop where they're all amazing. They're all vibe and they're all sort of like in that higher frequency of where they want to collaborate with each other. Mm-hmm. They want to connect. They want to see each other succeed.
Yes.
And I think that's amazing. And so what I've realized in my career is the more that you collaborate, the more success that you get, because everyone thinks it's like, it's so scarce that like, oh, only one person's going to sign up to a course, but no other educator or go to one workshop ever and never going to go to anything else.
Right.
But it's not the truth. The truth is, it's like there's so much going around. And if you truly got people's best interests at heart, then you should introduce them to multiple educators so then they can actually have a choice. And then you're going to find a right community opposed to just trying to take money all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then those people would also do the same for you. So then everyone's community would build up bigger than it would if you just did everything on your own. And I think like we live in the like a bit of a culture now where we all want to be self-made. We want to be the heroes of the story. Right. We all want to be the best, or we want to compete and stuff like that. So it goes against our human nature of like, wait, wouldn't it be better if we actually work together?
Right.
Yeah. So that's the thing that I want people's mindsets to change. So then people contact me and go, Jai, let's collaborate on something. Like, let's make something. Or like, Jai, can you come and speak at my workshop? Can you share my workshop? Or Jai, can I share your workshop? Can I come and speak at your thing? Like, let's do a launch together. Let's launch a course together. Let's like, I know you're doing a big event. I'd love to do a guest appearance or, you know, whatever it is. I'm going to bring my community. You plug in your community. And then if we came from that frequency, man, like shit fucking will change for industry.
Yeah,
it would completely change.
I feel like there's so many moments where I've been like, yes, yes. Like people are talking and I feel like I'm listening to like a sermon that is changing my life.
I know.
There were so many times like just now where I wanted to stand up and be like, you better say it again.
Yeah.
Because it's so refreshing to have that because I feel like that's how I started. That's how I started all of this. Like, that's how I started my business. That's how I started my community was like, let's hang out. Let's do stuff together. Oh, I want to see you succeed. I also want to succeed. I know I'm good at this. You're good at that. Let's do it together. And I've lost that along the way.
Wow.
And I've seen it like change my business in ways that I'm like, I don't like this.
That you don't love. Yeah.
It doesn't feel good.
Mm.
And being back here, and it was almost a humbling experience of
totally.
Like, I need to get my shit together and reprioritize the things that matter and raise myself to that higher frequency.
Totally.
And
that's what it's all about.
I'm like buzzing.
Yeah.
Mari was here and she's like buzzing. That's the word. We're just so ready to.
And you don't get that buzz from doing it by yourself. Like you just do not. I'm telling you, like I've tried
you
to
get
do
the
it.
Opposite.
Well, yeah. And a lot of times, like I've been an educator for 10 years now and I've like held so many workshops where other educators hate me because they're like, you're selling it too cheap. You're giving away too many secrets. You shouldn't be doing this. You shouldn't be doing that. You're in my area. Keep to your own lane. Like it just goes on. Like I've had so much backlash.
Yeah.
And I'm like, man, you guys are bringing no joy to anyone, especially me, but especially to yourself.
Yes.
But when you do these things by yourself, you go in, you deliver what's expected, and you know what it's all about. There's nothing unexpected going to happen because you haven't created any magic because there's no one else there.
Right.
But like yesterday, everyone's like, how do you think everything went? I'm like, well, I walked in. I presented the opening thing of how I want everyone to act and treat each other and then how I want everyone to think with goals and stuff. And the rest is out of my control.
Yeah.
And that's where the magic happens.
Yeah.
And at the end, like I wrapped it up with a joke or something and I was like, I don't know how any of the middle bits was going to go or the end. And I did not expect the end to go that way. I did not expect that to be the last joke.
I don't even know. I'm like, I don't even know what to say because I'm still just reeling from everything that I'm feeling. And it's been a long time since I've felt this good about wanting to change.
Mm.
And I'm just sitting here. I wish you could see how I'm looking at Jai. I probably look like a lost little puppy dog.
We're
like,
both sort of lounging on a couch, by the way. It's hilarious.
It's pretty funny. But it's just, it's incredible. I think you get stuck in your own lane sometimes. And
you do. You know what? When you get stuck in your own lane and in your own way and you're always thinking about your own thing, all you think about is like, where's my next level? Because you can't find it.
Yeah.
Because you can't find it because no, like you need someone else there to show you a new way, and then it's profound in whatever way. It could be a conversation. And then you're like, oh, my God. And then now I feel something. This is my next level. I can feel what the thing is. I didn't know it existed, but now I feel it. Mm-hmm. And I think like so often, like that's what we need, is we need to be in a room with another person or have these higher frequency conversations and stuff. And then you're like, oh, my God, I just didn't know that we could do that. You know, I didn't know that's what I'm supposed to do.
It's because the industry, like we were talking about, it makes you feel small. It makes you feel like you should be the only one to succeed. You should be doing this on your own, because success is this one thing. And it's this idea of being an educator, but doing it on your own, not telling too many secrets, because you don't want to. It's all the things we've talked about. And in all reality, it is the opposite. It's the loneliest, saddest like place to be. And I truly feel like I've been there for the past like year. And it's just, it's not necessary. It's not this thing that we think it has to be.
Mm.
And it's like, we talk about changing the industry, and I'm just sad that that's not what it is, because.
I know. Well, it's good though, because there's always like, I think like aspiring for change. Actually, throughout my whole career, there's always been things I've protested against in some way. Right. Mm-hmm. So one thing that I protested against, which no one probably noticed at all, because I don't protest as in like, I'm like, this is my way, and every other way is wrong.
Yeah.
So one way I like protested during the workshop, and I don't know if you noticed, but when I got on stage, I made a note to say every speaker's been paid. Every person that's in this room's been paid. Every videographer's been paid.
Yeah.
And I haven't asked, there isn't any volunteers. I haven't asked any attendees to help. I didn't ask anyone else. Everyone's been paid their worth as well. Like I didn't negotiate anyone's prices.
Mm-hmm.
Like I didn't say this is how much you get paid. I said, how much will it take for you to feel valued to come to this thing, right? So that's how the pricing works. But I told everyone that as well. And the reason being is because it was a slight little protest, which no one will really know. But throughout my career, whenever I went and talked at like the big conferences that I've talked at, I never got paid.
Wow.
And some of them I had to pay for my own flights to get there, my own accommodation, and still didn't get paid. Mm-hmm. And I'll be on a lineup where someone else was getting paid like $15,000 or $20,000, and there was no budget for me. And I know that I was like just up and coming and stuff, but it was like how I felt that they valued me.
Mm.
And I was like, if you're really good at business or you're putting on something like this, you have to factor in that people are going to fucking get paid, especially a speaker that's bringing people to it.
Absolutely.
So like my little protest for all these things, I always let people know. I'm like, everyone's been paid, just so you know, because like I would love for people in the future, if they're going to a workshop, to ask that question. Are the speakers actually getting paid? Yes. I would like to know that before I invest $500 or $2,000, like some of these workshops, you know?
Yeah. Or more.
Yeah. Or like or even content days, right? Like people do content days. I would like to know, are the models getting paid?
No.
Because sometimes like I've heard ones where it's like, a $5,000 content day and there's like 8 models and none of them are actually getting paid and they're going to be promised all the photos. And I'm like, that goes against all of my core values, you know?
It's like, it's like the opposite of like, we think we value, it's like, that's when collaboration comes in. That's a value because it's benefiting me and it's a singular benefit. I don't have to pay somebody. I can throw this thing and I make a bunch of money, but we're collaborating.
Yeah.
So you're getting like this energetical trade and you're like, no, you're making a lot of money.
Yeah, yeah. There's not,
but you're not putting any value into like the actual collaborating of like bringing these models in to provide value to what you're doing.
Mm.
So you just not value what you're doing, or do you not value yourself, or what? Where is this?
Not valuing me? Like, what's going on here?
It's just it's so funny how opposite it is in ways when it's like, oh, but collaboration is very beneficial only when it's one sided. It's like this
for
weird.
Sure. It fucking pisses
mindset.
Me off.
It drives me crazy. I live in Utah. And I can tell you that content days are every day of the year.
Yeah.
And my husband and I have been asked to model for them multiple times. And it's like, well, we could give you like, we could provide Starbucks and all of the photos. And I'm like, Okay. Like, so do you, are you asking me to do this because you think I'll bring like clout to something?
Mm-hmm.
Or are you asking me to do this because you genuinely think like our relationship is like this really beautiful thing that you want to document?
Mm-hmm.
Or like, what is this? And I'll ask those questions and I get left on red. Like all the time.
Wow.
It's like, it's not even about getting money. It's just about this expectation of like,
you gotta ask these questions.
There's no value. You have to ask questions and don't
feel
bad about asking them. You deserve.
Well, like people ask me all the time, even now. It's like, Jai, I'm hosting a fucking workshop and it's going to be online. Like, can you speak at it? Our dreams to have you speak at it. I'm like, that's awesome. Like, how much, like, do you want me to send my speaker fee or like how much do you charge? And then they'll write back on like, oh, we don't have a budget for it. And we're hoping like we could do like a collaborative effort. And I'm like, oh, well, that's a lot of work for me. What do I get in return for that? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm going to bring my audience. I got to like stress out and like create this thing. Sometimes I got to travel to it. I'm like, I'd love to know in your mind, like, where's the collaboration part?
Mm-hmm.
Because the definition is different for me.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Yeah.
That's the mindset that needs to change.
Well, you know, another thing is the way that I looked at this whole workshop, and I feel like the underlining thing, I feel like everyone felt this, but the way that I like set up the workshop was like, I want to collaborate with educators, but with the community as well.
Mm.
So instead of saying like, when I like came up with the ticket price, it wasn't like, okay, I'm just going to make up a massive ticket price and then just go for it. I worked it out and I was like, okay, to collaborate with everybody, mm-hmm. I'm going to have three tiers. So some people can't afford some stuff. Some people can like afford to be in the room. So that way some people, like if you're paying a little bit more, it's going to help pay for the people that don't have that much money.
Right.
First of all, also we're going to make it as cheap as possible because I want to collaborate with them because I know they've got flights and they've got other things. So the whole thought process was like, how can I give it as cheap as I can? So I'm collaborating with them. So they're collaborating with me by giving me money and then I'm giving my money to the speakers and everybody that's there. And then those people are giving value back.
Right.
And so the way that I see it, I'm like, it's a full circle where everyone collaborated and everyone won.
Every single person.
Every single person won. Like no one was sitting there. And they were like, I fucking lost.
Nope.
Yeah. And so if you think about business like that, it changes the game.
And this was just an actual result of that.
Yeah.
I feel like in workshops that I've taught at or, you know, there's this like underlying message that, well, there's always one person at a workshop that you're like, there's just always one who's negative or who doesn't have a good experience or isn't putting. And I'm like, well, why is that? Like, where's this missing piece? And I don't feel like a single person.
Yeah, yeah.
There wasn't just one.
I have
a
bit of an answer for that, actually.
Tell me.
What kind of? So I was talking to Joy and Opie this morning about this. And I'm in a lot of groups where it's like people that put on big events. So like workshops and stuff like that. And I hear them complain a lot. And so they complain a lot of like, oh, this speaker, they want too much and they're just being painful. And then the attendees, we got an unhappy attendee and it's just painful. And then this sponsor is just painful. And then it goes on and on and on.
Mm.
And I always think about it and I'm like, well, I don't really get those complaints ever, right? And I know what the problem is. The problem isn't the speaker or the attendee. It's the person at the top of the pyramid. The person at the top is the leader that sets expectations, treats people the way that, you know, that they're going to get treated back and everything else. And then from there, it's going to result in how everyone feels at the event. So for example, if I was at the top and then I was like, okay, I'm not going to pay you this much you're worth. I'm going to discount you. And then I'm going to put up the price and I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And then I was rude and I was like demanding on emails and then I was like setting expectations and doing all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been a different environment because of that reason. And of course, and then I would get like, oh, some unhappy people because they're unhappy because the food truck showed up late. Like the food truck showed up late the first day by an hour and everyone was like, that's fine, Jai. And I was like, okay, well, and I got up on stage and I said, I apologize. Like, I'm sorry. It's my fault. Like I'm at the top. Like, you know, it's not like my, you know, event planner's fault or anything.
Right.
I'm like, I could have made a phone call. Like I just missed it, you know? And I think like taking ownership like that too, if you're at the top, like that's your duty. It's like to take ownership and it's to treat the people the way that you want to be treated. And also actually I'd like to share one more thing.
Please.
Me and Lily went and did this retreat not too long ago and it was like a little bit different. Wasn't in the photography industry, but what we realized there was like all these different cliques, but we realized, you want me to hold that?
Yeah, it's heavy.
Yeah. We realized, didn't feel super connected. Mm-hmm. I don't know why, but like we felt like the people that were presenting or the person that was hosting the whole thing, they didn't take the time to come and talk to everyone. So mm-hmm. I was there. It was only small. It was only mm-hmm. like 15 people. But we barely talked and I felt like I was really a number. That's what I felt like. Mm-hmm. And so Lilu was like, my definition of success for this workshop is if I have a conversation with every single attendee. And mine was like, my definition is as long as I get to give every single person that comes in a hug. And that's 100 hugs. That's a lot of hugs.
A lot of hugs.
And I reckon I got every single person. Like, I don't think if you're listening to this and you came to the workshop and you didn't get a hug, I'll be surprised.
Yeah.
Because I made sure that I did. And so those little things, because I'm just showing appreciation, I feel like those little things mean the most to someone that shows up to something yeah. like this. It's like, I actually came and then I got to talk to my favorite, you know, speakers, attendees and everything else. And also I just had like a little bit of appreciation for me making the effort of being there. And I think that's important.
I agree. I made it a goal even just to like show up and meet everyone in the room.
Yeah.
And
you just showing up and being
there. I was just like, I'm trying to meet every single person, but it shows value. What does value mean to you? What does it look like? And then to take it and to execute it and to show it.
Mm-hmm.
It was just, it doesn't get much.
It kind of goes back down to like, everyone talked about personal brand and mm-hmm. showing your values and having your values.
Yes.
And I think we are humans that run businesses and we have these core values that we expect for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And then for some reason we get real businessy and we think we got to act differently.
Yeah.
It's as if I dress like this right now, which I'm just wearing shorts and like mm-hmm. whatever. And then I'm like, oh, wait, I got to go to work and go walk over to my computer. And for some reason I got changed and put on a suit, right? It would be ridiculous because it's like, that's out of character, Jai.
Yeah.
Do you feel uncomfortable? I'm like, yeah, I do. So we do that with our core values. It's like, oh no, like I need to charge what I'm worth and I can't give discounts and I can't collaborate and I can't recommend other people's workshops and I can't do this, I can't do that. Wait, is that part of your core values or is that because you think that's what business has to be? Mm-hmm. Because that's weird. And does that feel uncomfortable? You know?
It's so uncomfortable. It's something we all do. We all feel like we have to put this like mask on of what we're supposed to be as a business owner and as a photographer. But at the end of the day, it's always so funny. I say this to all my friends. I'm like, we're literally like all doing the same thing.
Mm.
Like on the surface, we're all photographers. So I want more. I want to know like what makes that, like what makes your business tick? What makes you as a human? Because we can all pick up a camera and do the thing, but I want to know like why and what the foundation of that is built on.
Mm.
And I think if we just focused on those core values, it would be a different world. It would be a different industry. We would have better connections and the perspective would change. It's like all these things where like we're changing the industry and all of these things are so important. I think it's so necessary. I even like on my notebook, I wrote core values ? And I was like, what are they? And I started writing down these things that I thought I should write down. Like, if somebody was looking over my shoulder right now and reading my notebook?
That's the worst.
Is this what they would want to like see? And I have them, they're scratched out. And I wrote this list of like really open, transparent, weird things.
Like your actual
my
core
actual
values.
Who I am. Yeah. And I made it a point to be like, hey, can I see what you wrote? Are you okay sharing that? And I made a point to share it, which was super scary.
Mm.
And it was like, oh my gosh, I love this. This is great. And I didn't know this about you.
Yeah.
I had this assumption that you were like this. Do you know how many times I get told like, oh, I think you're just like a really intimidating person.
Mm.
And they meet me and they're like, you're kind of the biggest weirdo I've ever met.
Yeah,
and you're very loud and you're very like goofy
open
and this
and friendly. And
I haven't shown that part of myself. Because it's like, I feel like I have to be professional. And what does that look like? So it's nice to be able to connect back to who I am and be able to share that with so many new people that I had no idea I was going to share with.
Yeah.
Now I'm like, well, there's no going back.
You know, I think an interesting thing you said there is like we shape our core values based on what we think is expected of us all the time. And so I sort of opened my whole talk on this with goals. It's like, I know when people are sitting there and I put out big pieces of paper because I wanted people to write down their goals in front of everyone so they had to see it. But I know that people don't write down their true goals because they look around and they go, well, what is realistic and what should I write down based on like what is accepted by everybody else? So no one goes crazy with it. And the second that you get permission to go, no, like there is, you have no terms and conditions. It's literally, you don't have to justify it, but you got to write it down, but it needs to be true for you, not for the person next to you. Then what do your goals look like? And I reckon every single person writes something completely different. Like, I'm allowed to actually write my goals. You mean I'm actually allowed to?
Yeah.
Oh, and then they do.
Yeah. I think giving people a safe space to just feel like what they are and who they are is enough is like, we think it's this big idea that's so complex and it's really not.
Yeah, it's really not.
Yeah. And it was cool to see from day one to day two, like the interactions that were coming from, you know, we kind of had that, like the answers that were like, oh, well, I want to do this and I want to do, and it was more of that, like, I don't want to say surface level because I don't want to like diminish anyone's goals if that's really what it is. Mm. But on day two, I remember there was one guy in the crowd, and I think India was talking about goals, and you know, there were a few of those answers, but then there were these answers that were coming out where I was like, there it is.
Yeah.
That's a real thing.
Yeah.
And this guy screamed out and he was like, I want to go to Japan and spend a bunch of money and go on a ski trip and chase the snow.
Yeah.
And I was like,
yes,
like see? That was,
there's some real shit going on here.
And it was just, and then that fostered connection even more so between him and India. Cause India was like, I want to go to Japan. Like we should talk about this. And I'm sure they did because she actually genuinely cares, but it was just so cool to see that like guard come down and to see like, even just in less than 24 hours, this mindset shift of people who everyone I talked to was like, I was not expecting that. And to put it into action on less than 24 hours.
That was amazing.
Yes, there it is. I even did it too. I mean,
I know. Yeah, I could actually see people like putting stuff into action and even just thinking differently. Like someone came up to me and they're like in tears and they were like, you know what you do for me, Jaya? And the reason why that I like enjoy your content is because you work the hardest for the least likely person, which is me, the person that actually cannot believe in themselves. And you give me like some hope that I can now believe in myself. And no one does that because everyone's working on surface level stuff. Mm. And I understand that. I'm like, yeah, well, it's hard for me. Like I feel like for me, it's like, it's going to be harder for me to get bigger and do more things because there's just so much work that needs to be done right there where it's like in the deeper stuff. And it's like, you're connecting with less people because you got to connect with open people that are ready for actual change, you know?
Yeah. And it was refreshing to see. I've gotten a bunch of messages, even just from the people that I've connected with being like, thank you for also like showing up and being like a person and not just feeling like you were above anyone. Cause you had like this experience or, you know, I had so many people who were like, when are you speaking? I was like, I'm not. I'm here taking everything in and to share on a common level, like we're all the same.
Yeah.
And
it's so good.
It's so good.
Yeah.
So good.
So do you have one standout conversation that you had with someone where you were like, ooh, that's good?
There were a couple, but I think it was the one I touched on earlier with this woman who we kept like looking at each other. And you know, when you feel that pull to somebody and you're like, I need to go speak to you. Mm-hmm. Like we're getting lunch after this. Mm-hmm. Like I want to actually connect. But it was just this breakdown where feeling one, we're in the same headspace and it's so nice and we're buzzing, we're having that. But then to like have this like human, you know, I already talked about this. I talked about all of this. There was another one. There was this girl and she came up to me and she was like, I use your presets. I'm so excited. I wanted to meet you. Like, so, you know, that kind of connection. And I was like, amazing. Tell me who are you? Like, tell me everything about you. I want to know. And on day two, she came up to me and she's bawling.
Wow.
Like sobbing. And we had talked about something that we had both gone through that is hard to talk about. And she just opened and was like, I've never been able to like, I don't get to talk about this. I don't have a support system. I don't have this. And we made these comments about, I never would have thought coming here to a photography workshop, we would have created this community based on something that was so far out of photography, but we connected to who we are and our core values. And what came out of that was like this really deep conversation that was so emotive and beautiful. And we shared, I mean, I got her number, we're texting, I checked on her, made sure she got home okay. because I want to see her succeed. And she didn't feel like she had a community for that reason.
Wow.
She came into a different community and left with an even bigger wow. community. And that was like, you know who you are and I love you. Like we
shout out to you.
Gorgeous conversation. And I know that that didn't end there yesterday. And it was just nice to feel seen on multiple like avenues of who we are as people. Like to connect.
I had a bit of a conversation with someone on a real similar thing. And they were just saying that they were going to quit photography like a year ago. Mm-hmm. And the main reason being is because of, you probably hear some sirens in the background, LA. Yeah. They were going to quit because their community in their local area was really cliquey. You yes. have to be someone or you have to abide by their rules or you can't overstep, you can't over mm-hmm. whatever. And, she said she was going to quit and then she joined one of my workshops for something. I think it was a summit or something. Then she seen how everyone was like being really supportive of each other. Then she joined the Facebook group and then she like joined my community. And then she was like, the most profound and life-changing thing for me was literally just that, joining a community that was outside of my town. And it made me realize that like it didn't have to be what was just in my town. Like there was a whole nother community. Mm-hmm. And so she changed everything. She's like, I no longer quit. And also I brought a few other people from the local area that just can't stand, you know, what's happening there. And so there's like a divide. It's like everyone else. And then it's them that's in this community. And it's like, man, it feels amazing to be able to facilitate a space that people mm-hmm. feel welcomed like that, you know?
Community is everywhere.
Yeah.
And I think we have this idea that community has to be this large group of and it doesn't. I mean, I live in Utah.
Give me like two people.
Yeah. And like I grew up with a totally different idea of what community means and leaving that and having to kind of start over and find community, it was hard. And so I looked outward and it was like one person and then two people.
That's how it
that turned into three. Yeah. And now I have this big community of people that I feel good around. Mm. But then I also have a community that I just found here and a community of the people, the three people I talked to yesterday that all had similar experiences with leaving the church and doing this. And then a community with people that I didn't think I was going to connect with. It's everywhere and it's abundant and it's multiple and it's just, I think we have to let go of the concept of like, well, one community, it's photographers in this area and that's where I need to shrink down to fit into that. No.
Yeah, you don't need to.
Please don't do that. Don't put yourself in a box because you feel like you have to. There's community everywhere.
Yeah, and my first workshop was based off of that. So when I was in 2013 to 2015, there wasn't that many like big communities around, right? Mm-hmm. And I was in a space where like I looked up to my favorite photographers and a lot of my favorite photographers were actual dicks online, to be honest. Like they were like gatekeepers. Yeah. There was so much gatekeeping. It was just nuts. It's like, if you were trying to get successful, they would definitely hold you down. And so I hated it. And I was like, you know what? I got to this point where I got so frustrated. I was like, I'm going to start my own community. And so I did. And I launched my first workshop and it cost me a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And guess how many people bought tickets?
Huh.
Five. And it cost me a lot of money. Yeah. There was like camping. There was everything. It was big, right? Yeah. And those five people, that was my community. That's all I needed. I only needed those five people to walk into the room.
Yeah.
And then we are all friends now still. Like,
when was
that? Was 2015.
Wow.
Yeah. And so for me, like I know so often people wouldn't start a workshop because it costs money and they don't want to lose money or they don't want to step out of their community or there's so many things that we have. But I always like put that BS list to the side. It's like, who cares if it did cost me money? Who cares if not that many people showed up? That's not what it's about. And then you actually create something real, you know, and you're not expecting anything from them, you know, except just don't be a dick and then we're living the dream. Yeah, we could. Like,
it's that simple. Yeah. I'm going to make t-shirts. Don't be a dick. Yeah. Live the dream. It's going
to
be great.
I should make some t-shirts. I want to make one that says like maybe something like no more gatekeeping. Like break down the gate. Like
no more gatekeeping.
Yeah.
Gatekeeping is the worst.
It really is, man.
It's just for what?
It's the opposite to community, but it's the most scarce thing you can have. Like, yeah.
I don't.
I have something special and I'm not going to share it with anybody. And you know what?
Be like, part of my community.
But be part of my community. Yeah. The interesting thing is I'm sitting here right now. I literally just got out a whole bunch of cards. from attendees, which it's fucking crazy because I can read these things and they're like heartfelt, amazing. And I've never actually had anything like this in my life.
Really?
No, I've never seen cards like this for something like this. But what's amazing about it is like gatekeeping doesn't get you things like this. You know what I mean?
Yeah. When you gatekeep, you don't have gratitude.
Yeah.
No.
No, because you're always thinking about someone's taking something from you, someone's ripping you off, someone's taken more that they should have, that they deserve, that they've paid for.
It's like what Joy was talking about. It was like givers and takers. Mm. And I think I asked a question about giving and taking. And I felt like I was getting the answer and I thought like I knew I had my own answer. Mm. And then I sat back and I was listening to you and Joy speak to it. And I was like, oh shit. There it is. Like I had that mentality just slightly and there it was and it popped up and it made me feel uncomfortable. And I was like, well, no, like I know. And then I was like, no, like let it go and be this person who doesn't think they're a total giver because there's something there where I'm like, I feel like I'm taking advantage of.
It changes the game. And the weird thing is in my career, the whole thing has been like, everyone always asks me like, Jai, you give too much. I get this conversation all the time. And then say, how do you know when you do give too much? And I have never in my career experienced something negative because I gave too much value. I have never experienced that.
That's what you said I asked and that changed. Because I thought about it. I had these moments because you know when you ask a question, you have an experience you're asking from.
Yeah.
And when I was asked that or when I'm listening to your answer, which you just gave again, and I did it again. It was like the people I truly have given to, that is the answer.
You don't think about all the other people that it's like, okay, of course there's takers around the place and there's sharks and they're doing their things, but think about the profound impact that you've made because you gave.
I wouldn't be here today doing what I do without that.
Yeah, without that.
And it was a nice reminder to just.
I know. And so, the thing is, we all need that reminder.
Yes.
So Joy and I were literally having this conversation and we caught ourselves because Joy was like, he's literally said like, fucking hell, man, like your tickets are too cheap. You shouldn't be paying for all of this. He's like, why? And then we're like, yeah, actually we should have. We talked for like 1 or 2 minutes like that. And then we caught ourselves and then Joy literally sits back and he goes, but look where you are, man. Look at the people that you get to hang out with. Look at the things that you get to do. And then I was like, oh my God, what the fuck are we complaining about? Like, what the hell? Like, of course, you know, it makes, when you think about it, it's like, it makes no fucking sense to not give.
No. You know, you could have charged more. You could have done all of that.
Course.
But at the same time, it's like, what you did here was actually deeply impactful.
Yeah.
For so many people. And that's what matters. And it's,
that's the fucking thing.
That's going to go out and spread that power and that abundance to everything. And that ultimately leads you to the goal of like wanting to change the industry.
Exactly. Like, there it is. Yeah.
There it is. Yeah. See, everything comes back.
Comes together.
I feel like I've had this like rebirth of perspective where I'm like, wow, I'm just grateful, man. Like, I don't know.
I'm grateful for you to be here. And let's wrap up and share your workshops, your Instagram, like wherever someone can stop in and say hello. Or if someone walked past you and seen you at the workshop, maybe they're too scared to say hello because there's always those people. Now they can like maybe slide into your DMs and say hello. So where can we find you?
On Instagram, everything, social media, it's at In Frames Photography. Everyone always thinks I say N frames, like the letter N. It's in, like in a picture frame. So creative, I know. Online website, my DMs are always open. I'm somebody who truly believes in community. So please come in, stay a while, take your shoes off. I'll make you a cup of tea. We can chat. Tea's not good. I don't know why I said that. I'll make you a cocktail or a coffee and we can chat. And I do have a workshop. It is based all about families, which is really surprising for me. I found a love for families that I never thought I would have. It's all about, it's called Honest Chaos. And it's literally about the honesty of the chaos that is families and dynamic and human connection. And it's very intimate and small. The next one is in Utah in the fall, which if you've never been to Utah in the fall, it is one of the most beautiful places. Really? I might be slightly biased, but I've lived there my whole life and I never get sick of it.
Yeah.
It's unreal. It's beautiful. It's stunning. And you come and you feel very seen and you leave with a community. And that's what I'm all about. So yeah. It's a fun time. It's a good time.
Yeah. All right. I just want to say a big thank you, not only for coming to the workshop, but coming into my hotel room after a big party and night out and sitting on the couch and just having a conversation. So I really appreciate it. And I'll see you soon.